The long-awaited Dublin Archdiocese Commission report into how allegations of child sex abuse by priests were handled by church and state authorities was published on Thursday by the Irish Minister for Justice and Minister of State for Children. The commission was set up in March 2006 to investigate abuse allegations against 46 priests who were active in the Archdiocese during the period from January 1975 to April 2000. As well as detailing thousands of cases of abuse, the report addresses how allegations against the priests were dealt with by four archbishops, who served as both chancellors and auxiliaries of the archdiocese over that three-decade period. This is the third inquiry in the last 4 years into child abuse by priests in Ireland. It comes on the heels of the Ryan report published earlier this year on abuse of children in religious-run state industrial schools. The Archdiocesan Commission expressed regret on Thursday that the report was not being published in full. Ireland's High Court ruled that the report had to omit names and references to any cases that are currently on trial.
This is a chapter in the history of the Archdiocese of Dublin, which is a sad chapter. It will remain there. You just can't deny that. And there's no point in saying, well, look, the report is over. It's been back to business as it was before. The church has to change, and I believe that we will be the better for having fully addressed this chapter.
Archbishop Dermot Martin took over from Cardinal Desmond Connell as head of the church in Dublin in April 2004. I asked him what message he has for all these sex abuse victims and their families.
I think of the horror that they went through. I think particularly of one group, that's people who have not yet been able to tell their story, and for whom reading this report will obviously awaken in them terrible emotions which they haven't been able to come to grips with. I, over the years, have met many, many victims, and I can see that in many ways their lives have been ruined, or part of their lives has been ruined. They've had to go and live with this terrible suffering over years. For them, it's better that they speak for themselves, but I can imagine for some the fact that the truth is coming out is very important.
Many of those people and many people reading this report are asking, how could the bishops and other church leaders fail to take action for so long? What is your answer to that?
It's obviously a question that you ask yourself. It's very hard to put yourself in the position of someone else. But one of the sad things is that the parents who came forward and the victims who came forward, they had no doubt about how serious this was. And most of them came forward basically to say, we don't want this to happen to somebody else. And many of them are grieving because they came forward too late, and they believe that because of that somebody else may have been abused. They had no doubts at all about the seriousness of it. And for somehow or other, you know, church leaders, they didn't seem to have that same sense of how disastrous this was for children.
Many of the priests, many of the abusers are in jail. Many of them have been brought to justice, if you like. Do you think there should be some way in which church leaders should take responsibility for this in a more open, more public way?
I think, you know, that on the publication of the report, people will take some, admit their responsibilities where they took place. You know, criminal responsibility, it's the task of the police to investigate and the director of public prosecutions to prosecute. But in many cases, these cases have been examined. There are also worries as to whether the law is adequate, the framework of law is adequate for the protection of children, and that the powers given to the health executive and to the police may not be adequate. One thing is that many of these abusers were at times in total denial, at times extremely devious. The problem was that decisions were taken, you know, not to treat their offences as seriously as they should. Maybe bishops were deceived. The problem is decisions were taken which permitted other children to be abused. Now, on the other hand, you know, it has to be said that a huge amount of progress has been made in Ireland into the application of child protection norms in the church. And it isn't simply about detecting, it's about protecting. I think, for example, in every parish now we have people who have got a responsibility to. It's not rocket science. It's common sense in many ways. To keep their eyes open, look out for behaviour on the part of a priest or anybody else in the parish, which seems strange, worrying in their relationship with children. And not to get involved in investigating, but simply to get that, to tell the professionals where this is happening. I've heard very sad stories of people saying to me, what happened to me was actually, it was known that there was a problem in the parish. And people didn't seem to know how to deal with it. So that this type of ongoing safeguarding measures will be able to identify problematic behaviour at a much earlier stage and to deal with that professionally and to hopefully... it's not going to be possible ever to eliminate, but you have to do everything you can to make sure that risk is least.
What kind of long-term damage do you think has this done to the church in Dublin?
I can see that when there's talk about the abuse of children, parents think of their own children. And parents themselves will have had real difficulties of confidence in and the safety of allowing their children to take part in church activities. I think parents are extremely annoyed at the way that the abuse... knowledge about abuse was handled. They think in terms of their children, and there has been a real crisis of confidence on the part of many parents. You can't expect confidence to be rebuilt overnight. It's a question of rebuilding that, of showing that the measures are there, of clearly expressing not just regret and apologies, but in many ways, shame about what happened. And I know from what I hear that parents want these strong protection measures to be applied and there to be no compromise.
On the other side, this has also taken a devastating toll on the morale of the priests in the your archdiocese, hasn't it? What can you do about that?
I think the priests, when they day after day hear about this matter, it's like it's an aggression on their work, and it's very hard. The first thing is that they have to accept the fact that this happened, and there's also a tendency to go into denial, and to show everybody going forward that we are all working for a church in which children will be safe, to recognise that good child protection measures are good priest protection measures, and to go forward. The last thing this is a particular period when the church needs to enter into a new dialogue with young people, and it would be tragic if priests felt inhibited in that. Parishioners know and recognise good priests, and I believe from their own parishioners and lay people, those priests will get the courage and the strength to recognise how important their own mission is.
Finally, you came in as Archbishop of Dublin. You've been dealing with this for a number of years now. What kind of toll does it take on you personally?
It can be very tiring, emotionally draining, when you listen. It isn't just listening to people telling their stories, but when you see what they've gone through. It can't but be emotionally draining. But you come in, you have to do a job, and that's it. I hope that we can now move on to the other tasks that at times may have been neglected a little bit during this. But this is a chapter in the history of the Archdiocese of Dublin, which is a sad chapter. It will remain there. You just can't deny that. And there's no point in saying, well, look, the report is over. It's been back to business as it was before. The church has to change. And I believe that we will be the better for having fully addressed this chapter. And we have to be very vigilant in our training of priests. But in the midst of all this, I've never lost my optimism that we are moving in the right direction.
My thanks there to Archbishop Dermot Martin, head of the Dublin Archdiocese since 2004.